Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Amazon Business honors Jill Lau, Chief Procurement Officer of Global Network Bank. Last week, Jill saved big and used Amazon Business to help her team buy 327 headsets. Now Bob can keep his conversations to himself.
Wait, am I still on speakerphone?
With business buying easier than before, Jill now uses her extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
Thank you for holding.
Hang it up, Bob.
You're listening to the most fraudulent F1 podcast with Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11.
I secretly moonlight as Helmut Marko at race weekends.
And Blake, a.k.a. Brake.
Echo chambers of farts and idiots on Twitter after races.
It's the Engine Breaking F1 podcast.
Beautiful intro there. Beautiful intro. Big up Michael Kist for that one. You know, doing us some sweet audio production on only episode 2. So, yeah, welcome in, everybody. It's episode 2 of the Engine Breaking Podcast, Monza Grand Prix Review. I am Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11, and with me is the beautiful...
Hi, I'm Blake, a.k.a. Brake. I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing here. That's what I keep telling people, but who knows? Who knows? What do we got? Yeah. What do we got on the cards today, Dan? Talk to us.
So we have basically a bit of F1 news, going through Monza, a little bit of Twitter Q&A, Fraud Watch, Engine Good Boy Award, and maybe we'll finish with some wild conspiracies.
I think this entire race is just going to be nothing but conspiracy theories, Dan. I'm going to lean into it. And like you said last time, you reminded me, I'm going to say it with my chest this time. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to hide my voice and my true thoughts. And not only thoughts, but insights. I happened to be on another show this weekend, and I successfully predicted the top 5. My confidence is through the roof right now for absolutely zero reason. But anyway. So
that was very impressive, actually, I have to say, your 5 out of 5 prediction.
I mean, that was probably there must be some bets going on. Like you could if you could pick the top 5 in the race, you could probably win some change, you know.
Yeah.
Do something strange with it, you know.
Are you claiming that you predicted that through skill and not pure luck?
No, I told him I'm absolutely nowhere at that. You know, and also I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. I'm never making race predictions ever again because I nailed it, man. I knocked it out of the park. You know, I Rosberged it. You get one, yeah. Get out.
Yeah, that's respectable. I can respect that.
So this is the second episode of the Engine Breaking Podcast. How did, how was the first episode received?
The first episode was received very well. We've already hit, I think it was like 2,100 subscribers, which I think is pretty wild.
That's absolutely freaking nuts. Big shout out to Engine Mode Good Boy and his big, big Twitter gang for absolutely carrying this heap of shit podcast.
Yeah. We're cashing in on those Twitter followers.
Yeah, boy.
So, but you know, 2,100, we can do more than that. So, you know, like, share, subscribe, tell your nan, I don't know, write it on a, get, you know, well-wishing card and leave it outside of St. Paul's Cathedral for the Queen. I don't know. Just get the word out there.
Yeah.
And, thank you for listening to our fraudulent shit.
Yeah. We see you guys sharing it and tagging us and stuff. And that's so awesome. I genuinely appreciate it. Dan said that you're a bunch of cunts, but, you know.
Mm. We all are together, so it's okay.
Yeah. Collectively, yeah. He said we, not you, sorry, collectively. It was all of us together, so.
Yeah.
So, let's get into it. We've got a Monza. We've got 2 full weeks off before we go to Singapore. So, let's not focus on the later. Let's talk about the now and the what just happened.
Mm. Well, before we get into that.
Oh.
We're going to go into some little bits of news.
Oh.
Because that's what you put first on the list.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming we're going through this running order in the way you've typed it.
I thought you typed that bit. But yeah, like let's talk about this. There's a little bit of stuff going on. There's a little bit of noise in the paddock. There's some chaos. There's some spanners in the works, as they call them. Those are wrenches for my American friends. If you're wondering what a spanner is, it's a wrench.
Aluminum.
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. I'm going to listen, Americans. Dude. I'm going to come over there and some revenge for a tea party that you boys threw a couple of hundred years ago.
But I seriously, I type tires with a Y now. So, like, I'm halfway there, right?
Oh, yeah. The colonization. Cool. Sorry. F1 news. Let's get into it. Obviously, we know Alex Albon. He had to miss qualifying, and he missed FP3 as well, didn't he? It was the whole Saturday he missed out because he got appendicitis. But it came out today that during his operation, he had to go back on the incubator due to some post-operative anesthetic complications, which led to a respiratory failure, which sounds quite scary when they say it like that.
No, but like it does happen, but it's just like one of those things that doesn't happen often. But it's like, yeah, this could happen, but we don't want it to happen. But yeah.
So
when are we going to see him back in a car?
Well, Williams have said that he made excellent progress overnight and he's able to be removed from mechanical ventilation yesterday morning. So I assume that means Sunday morning. And he's A-okay, full focus is on recovery and preparation for the Singapore GP on the 30th of September.
Let's go, Alex. Get well soon, dude. Get well soon, man. That's got to suck. It's like, hey, you're about to go absolutely smash Latifi's face in qualifying and the race. Again, but your appendix just said, fuck you, mate.
Yeah. And then just, you know, the icing on the cake, you're going to have some anesthetic reaction and we're going to bang you back into intensive care for the night.
What the hell, man?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Wild.
Some other driver news then. Not for this season, though.
Yes. I can never pronounce this guy's name right, so apologies to everyone out there. But Felipe Drugovich...
I think that sounounds, chat.
That sounds close enough.
Yeah, tick. Yeah, it's good. Drugovich.
Yeah, we'll do. That'll go. So Aston Martin have announced that they have signed him up to be their first member of its driver development program. It sounds like a fancy way of kind of like a Red Bull Junior program, doesn't it, really? But basically it means he's going to become one of the team's reserve drivers and the intention is to get him to drive in FP1. At Abu Dhabi, substituting for Lance Stroll, and to take part.
No way!
Yeah, no can you way. Believe it?
I thought Dad Stroll would have been like, right, my son will not get out of the car for free practice one. Okay, but all right. Watch him smash Seb in P1, bro.
Yeah, they've obviously got a yacht to be on during FP1 or something. So
exactly.
And he's going to be doing the young driver test at the Yas Marina Circuit in November.
Nice. Oh, are you and, after your karting deal? Are you going out there for a bit as well? Did you get a call? Did you get any
calls?
I'm
still recovering.
Oh, nobody headhunted you for from that karting?
No, unfortunately not. I think the only people that headhunted me were Weight Watchers to get me on a weight reduction program. To be honest,
is it right, mate? We're going to start with your appendix. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, those carts aren't built for people that are
powerfully built like myself.
Fair enough, man.
But yeah, so no, unfortunately, my F1 debut will not be happening.
Apologies. I know you had your heart set on it, bro.
Yeah, but next year, Felipe as well is going to be doing an extensive test program behind the wheel of the 2021 AMR21 and will basically be sitting in the garage at the majority of the Grand Prix.
Yeah, so, dude. That always bums me out when you could have, like, you know, your reserve driver, like, in the simulator doing work and being really in tune with the car, but your reserve driver's just sitting at the track drinking cappuccinos, sweating his ass off, and then going and partying like a lunatic every night just because. Now, and I'm sure they're not doing that because they know that they could get the call up at any moment. But still, like, if I was a junior driver, I'd be like, let me drive something, bro. I'm going to lose my shit. Yeah. I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe he gets to drive the little scooter that goes around and picks up the driver's trackside.
Exactly. Lance, Fernando, please, let me carry you back to the pits. Hop on my shoulders. Oh, my God. Good on him. Good on him. I keep... I'm not following any of the lower formula right now because Formula 1 is one. That means it's the best one, and it's consuming my entire life and every spare moment of my time. So I'm like, what's F2? I'm in Formula 1 and Alt F4. That's it. That's all I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just think F2 and F3 were just there to rubber in the track, weren't they? I thought that was their sole purpose.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay, good, cool. Just double checking.
Yeah.
Porsche Red Bull. The deal that I said for months, if not years, on Twitter has now decided to not happen, making me look like possibly the greatest fraud ever to be on F1 Twitter.
All right, I've just updated. I know we'll get to it later, but I've updated my fraud watch.
Oh, have you? Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah, I'm updating.
Yeah, so Porsche deal, which, you know, Porsche. apparently, I've got to call it Porsche, not Porsche.
No, you don't.
Porsche.
Blimey, governor.
The Red Bull Porsche deal is off. How do you feel about that? Do you care?
Honestly, I'll tell you how. Let me say it with my chest right now how I feel about that.
Yeah.
It sounded to me, and this is just like anybody that's inside has a clue, they're not talking about it, they're not going to talk about it, which leaves room for massive, massive toxic speculation from us shitters on the internet. But Red Bull working with Honda has been working so well. You know, you've got chassis and you've got engine. Chassis people are doing good chassis stuff. Engine people are doing good engine stuff. Car goes zoom. That's how I think about this. Now, Porsche like, yeah, we'd like to buy, you know, the rumor was 50% of the company. I thought it was 50% of the powertrains division or 49% or something like that. But nope. Everybody said it was 50% of something because somebody heard somebody having a shit and heard them talking about an engine deal in the toilets or something. So I don't know what that was about. But I'm pretty sure it was like 49% of the powertrains division, not 50% of the team. But let's say it was 50% of the team. Red Bull does one thing good. You know what that is?
What is it?
It's Red Bull. That's it. You know, like, the Red Bull does Red Bull good. Like, I don't see, like, another team with lots of other huge politics and structures coming in and that working out. I see that turning into a shit fight. You saw it with Renault. You know, they were flexing a little bit, and you saw it. Yeah, it was Infinity, Renault, same thing.
Mm.
I think Red Bull does Red Bull good, and if Honda thing is working, it ain't broke, don't fix it. Go. What do you think before we because the next point is very much.
I'm surprised that it didn't go through, but not when I hear that they wanted 50%.
Yeah.
I think I you know, it's been a while since we've been in the factory, but
I was there yesterday. They're still paying me for Twitter bias.
Oh, okay, I understand. Yeah. But I when I was still there at the start of the year or whatever, I never got any inclination anyone was interested in selling it, regardless of what percentage. So as soon as they said, 50%, I'm not really surprised that Helmut Marko told them whatever the German word is for fuck off.
Yeah. He told them to get absolutely...
Fick auf, is that it? German listeners, let me know if I completely butchered that.
Sarah's not home, I'll ask her.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like you say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think I'm kind of surprised at how well the Honda relationship has gone.
Yeah, for sure.
But then wasn't entirely surprised that it cooled off with Porsche after I heard exclusive rumors from direct in the paddock that...
Oh my God.
There was quite a large meeting with Honda superiors in Austria and Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think perhaps maybe Honda got there first, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. Because I never got the impression that Honda was going anywhere. You know, they decided to call the partnership off with Red Bull to say, you know, to be dumping all the money in, but they're like, we'll still supply the shit for a bit, but we're going to limit our involvement and limit the cash that we're flowing to you. But we're still thinking, I guarantee you they're still developing engines on the dyno for the new regulations, even though those are finally hammering out. But you know what else I heard is leaked from the paddock as well?
What?
I heard that the Engine Braking podcast has been consumed inside of the Formula One paddock, and the reception was not bad. This is okay. I've actually heard from my sources in the paddock that so
yeah. Do you often sleep with your sources or
no? No, just like once.
Just this once.
Yeah, no. Just when there's no race weekends. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, we're not banned yet then, is nope. Basically what you're trying to tell me.
No, we don't. We're not banned. We're not going to get banned. We're actually, we're going to get invited soon. Not really. I just manifest that though. Can we manifest the dub? Anybody listening along with us, just manifest it for us. Just say a quick word to yourself. But anyway, Porsche deal off.
Mm. Gone, kaput.
But. What does that tell us?
What's your
mate doing?
My favorite Marco the Explorer.
Yeah.
He's packed his backpack, and he's apparently flying to Sakura for some talks with Honda.
Mm. Sakura is their development facility. Yes. In Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, quite an impressive place as well.
I've never seen anything to do with it.
That's because you're not important.
No, I know.
So, yeah, a full works return for Honda is now on the cards, apparently. Marco said it's being negotiated. I will be flying to Tokyo between the Singapore and Suzuka races early in October. Core blimey.
Wow, governor. That's impressive.
He's not holding back about that, is he?
He's never shy, is he? Like, when he's got something going on, he's like, I cannot wait to tell everybody. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure Honda are very happy and overjoyed that he's basically chatting about it all over the media, because they like to keep their cars close to their chest.
Yeah, maybe. But like, so, come on, if they haven't figured out the good doctor by now,
yeah, they've had long enough now to know the score.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice,
yeah,
shame
on
me again.
Well, Honda's fooled everyone.
Yeah, they have.
We're going to put an engine freeze in because Honda are leaving to allow other people to get up to speed.
Dan.
Now we've signed everything off.
Dan, no, you can't.
The cover comes off the table, and underneath it, Honda was there the whole time.
Surprise, motherfucker!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, fucking
wild.
That's awesome. Pure. That's awesome.
I didn't realize the Japanese were so good at shithousery, but yeah. I doffed my cap to them. That was brilliant.
Oh, cheers, lads. Cheers, lads.
I think that's about it for news, really.
Yeah.
That's only the major talks.
There's nothing, there's
you
nothing
got any
really
news.
No, there's nothing too juicy, really. Like, you know, the fact that the Engine Braking, the most fraudulent Formula One podcast, has made its way into the paddock somehow is absolutely blowing my mind. Because, like, other than Twitter, I'm not just calling my mates that work at Red Bull, but oi lads, we got a podcast, we're talking shit, I know you know what's going on, but come check it out. I'm not doing that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, did they say who it was that listened to it?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Not Mr. Mohammed, head of the FIA, listening to it and thinking, never let these two within a 10 mile radius of a track ever again.
Yeah, exactly. Farm credentials fully stricken, verboten list. Yeah,
so, that's why I'm going to have a shave, because then they won't recognize
nobody will fucking recognize you, mate.
Exactly.
If I saw you walking in the street, I'm like, what are you looking at? Don't look at me ever again.
Who's this guy?
Should we let's move over to Twitter. I had a question after the last podcast.
Yes, and, go for it.
It's from Mallers from the Discord. He said, my main takeaway from episode one is you dispelling myths about trackside champagne and BJs, but I'm left with a vital question. What was it like at the factory, and do you get more champagne and BJs as a streamer than at the simulator? The correct answer to all those is I just get none of them. I downgraded from nice craft beer when I had a steady paycheck to drinking Guinness out of a tin, which talking to some Irish people is a big no-no. So I had somebody remind me that you shouldn't drink Guinness from a tin. But I was like, it's got the nitrogen widget and stuff, and it tastes nice, and I don't know, man. I'm into it. But anyway, so
we've got champagne. We got a little glass of champagne if we won, though, in the factory.
Yeah, you go to the little debrief, and everybody has a little... Yeah. But also COVID spoiled that. They're like, you know, you're doing debriefs from your laptop, and it's like, well, I can't, you know, can we just bring a... Can somebody, like, mask up and bring a champagne trolley around the design office? No.
Can we just slam down some champagne on our laptops?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like how they didn't trust any of us as well, so we had to have plastic cups. The gift of foresight on that one.
Yeah, because what if somebody tips off and starts glassing people in the race win celebration in the race bays? No, it wasn't fair. Ah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that danger's passed now that me and you have left. So
yeah, exactly.
No one's going to get glassed now.
I never went. I don't like drinking. Did you not? I don't like drinking during the day. And even if it was just a sip, you know, it was just like a nice little celebratory sip. I was like, nah, I'll pass out after a sniff of champagne. I'm just like, whatever, I have a headache.
Yeah, it was okay, but Christian did one once. When was it? Maybe it wasn't the Baku double DNF. It may have been something else when something went wrong. And he had a go at us because more people showed up to the debriefs when they went wrong than when they went right. So, yeah, he wasn't too impressed with that.
That's just fucking good marketing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit when you do a good job. Like, yeah, well done. It's like, you did what? You said what on Twitter, Dan? Oh, exactly. My God, I'm so disappointed in you.
So, yeah. What other fun and games have you got from Twitter? Should we go through that now?
Yeah, well, let's rip through it real quick.
Okay, so question one. And I should have checked these fucking usernames.
Did I jump through? I actually skipped, man. I thought we were going to do the Twitter at the end, and I just, like, scrolled on my screen. You know what?
No, I moved it down.
Oh, you
did?
But
let's do the Twitter stuff now, because why not? It's clean.
Okay. Well, and let's get through it, because I'm sure everybody's dripping to see what kind of fraudulent shit we can come up with from the Monza Grand Prix, which was the biggest cock tease of a race I've ever seen in my life.
No one gives a shit about Monza. Max won. End of story.
Yeah, right, fine.
Twitter stuff. Sport @sport714007. I wish I fucking sorted these usernames out before I did this. He asks, or they ask, do the drivers know all the engine modes and settings, or does the engineer have to tell them every single thing? That's a good question, because I don't actually know the answer to this.
The answer to that question is the drivers know two or three of them.
Like the main ones.
Yeah, exactly. There's race standard mode, there's a qualifying mode, and there's an outlap mode or an in-lap mode. So they maybe know like three or four of them. They might know five, but there's a couple of pretty, niche connoisseur settings that they don't use very often. Considering that dial has 12 or 14 positions, they don't need to know all of them. But they will know the standard ones, and they don't really need a whole lot of reminding on the old basics.
Did they know engine mode 11, position 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, they knew that.
Yeah, exactly. Engine
big in the game.
That is that's the mode that Ferrari use to blow up their engines.
Ah. That's when they want the fire outside of the combustion chamber and not inside, like, it, right? Okay.
Yeah. Should we replace this? Ciao, we move it outside the combustion chamber. Yes. Nice.
Mamma mia. Ah, dear. At JL Brad says, watching Magnussen's onboard after Bottas rammed him, this is in regards to Monza, the team said they checked everything and it looked good. After the race, they confirmed it was a broken diffuser. Does a broken diffuser show in the data? Or might a team choose not to reveal it on the radio during a race?
My take on that is,
I just don't think they know.
I think it depends on where it is. But for the most part, it depends on if the team has the weight to run pressure taps on their floor. So if they can run the pressure taps and the sensors and all the plumbing for that, which isn't particularly heavy, but I remember when I was at Force India, we would run non-pressure tapped floors during the race because they were a couple kilos lighter. I think the technology's changed, and I think aero, a lot of people are biasing, like, aero is important, you need to understand it, and if you have all the sensors. If you had a damage, like if you broke a strake off or something, you'd see it, if not in the pressure taps, you would see it in the, you know, the actual, they've got basically sensors that measure the forces in the suspension, which tells you how much pushy downy force you have on this, on the car.
Could you see it on the load or whatever?
If it was a big amount, you would have seen it. If it was a small amount, you might have missed it.
Okay. And then basically everyone's asking all about the safety car ending, but we'll probably do a generic answer to that after
we can rip through qualifying in the race now. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go to Monza.
Right. We have now entered, ladies and gentlemen, the temple of speed. And I really felt like this weekend's race was the temple of blue balls because it was like something was going to happen. It never happened. Which begs a lot of questions, and are we going to get controversial on this pod, Dan?
Oh, yeah. All
right, cool.
Rip the Band-Aid off and send it.
Yeah, full send. Oh, my God. I love it. So, qualifying.
I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate it. Like, it was fun on the show with Tomo and the guys. Like, that was fun on Sunday. But it's like, if I was sat on my sofa, like, trying to dig into it, it was like, all right, cool. We got some gaps. Ooh, some different strategies. Did Ferrari fuck up? Blah, 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 blah. And then let's get into that in a minute. Qualifying.
Mm.
Qualifying was an interesting one. Or was it?
I mean, it was interesting in the fact that nobody fucking started where they qualified. So what does it fucking matter? You know, we had obviously Nyck de Vries replacing Albon. And then just for the bants, he came out straight away and out qualified Latifi.
Mate.
Skill gap.
Yeah, I fucking slapped him. What was the lap? What did he put on him? So, where's Latifi at? Latifi.
He hasn't crossed the line yet.
Latifi did a 22.5 and De Vries did a 22.56. So it was very tight margins, but nonetheless, De Vries has just nearly sniffed a Williams that morning after driving an Aston Martin earlier in the weekend. Has a little bit of trouble with the steering wheel. Leaves it. He does basically a. There's a repeat of Hamilton brake magic on into turn four on his run in Q2. And that prevented him from having a shot at Q3. But I looked at the data this morning and looking at where he was at, De Vries was not getting into Q3. But that does not take away that car is not particularly rapid. And he's done an exceptional job. But his laps were scrappy for sure. Compare that to Latifi's laps, which are consistently shit and slow.
Ah, Nicholas Latifi. I'm sure you're a lovely bloke, but
yeah,
I think it's time for a different career. Yeah.
And that's not me hating on a person. It's just saying...
Facts are facts, my friend.
Not quick.
No. So. But speaking of people that... made it into Q3. Did you see my incredible Twitter jinx that I put on Danny Ricciardo?
You didn't, did you?
Yeah, well, you know, he put on that radio message where he goes, I'm happy to hit them.
Yeah, with the photographers in the pit lane.
Yeah, and then I replied saying, I think they'd be happier if you hit Q2, mate. So
where'd he end up?
Obviously, he took that personally and ended up in Q3. I think he ended up starting P4, but I wasn't sure what his actual qualifying position was because honestly, trying to figure that bullshit out. No.
So I've got it up right now. Ricciardo qualified 8th with a 21.9. Norris with a 21.584. Let's be honest. Just over 0.3 is still a very reasonable gap to teammate. But this track seemed to separate the front from the back quite a bit.
Yeah, it's strange that McLaren now for like the second year running seem to have a good car at Monza only. I don't really know what that's about, but whatever. Yeah.
And it's well, we'll get to the race, but it wasn't even that good in the race either. They just kind of, Daniel took that hitting Q2 comment personally, ran over a photographer, then got into Q3.
Yeah, so Danny Rick made me look like an absolute arsehole on Twitter, but what's new, to be honest? So well done him. But yeah, we'll get into it, because it all turns out that was for nothing anyway.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had, I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 hours post-qualifying before we actually knew where the fuck anyone was starting?
I think that's because Ben and his buddy, Ben and his buddies were out on the piss.
Oh, okay.
They're out.
That's your
congratulations, everybody. Yeah, they're like, right, congratulations, Christian. We fixed the qualifying so you could get P2 and have a great race tomorrow. Bonato, let's have some champagne or sparkling wine. It's not champagne. They're in Italy, so it's probably Prosecco. But yeah.
You have a sensible answer to this, though, don't you?
The reason...
In regards to car covers.
Yeah, basically, they were waiting until after everybody finished qualifying and anybody submit any repair requests after qualifying, so any Parc Fermé requests, to release the final grid. They've got a spreadsheet that says, right, here's how this goes. We'll move everybody around, hit the button, and they all stack back up, and you've got the grid, and they check it. That takes somebody probably 2 minutes to do altogether and check it. But they were just waiting until the evening when everybody had finished up for them to send out the list. I don't think it took them that long to generate the grid. And if you're wondering why it took them so long to generate the grid, we had, what, 5, 6, 7 drivers with 10-plus place penalties. Max had 5, but, you know, a lot of the people had 10, 15 to the back of the grid, which is a different designation. So, yeah, basically, what's the interesting one? Latifi, all right, Nicholas Latifi qualified P16 and started the race P10, for example. So that's how big of a shuffle that we actually had.
Oh dear. But yeah, you know that as soon as, you know, if you did it quickly, there's going to be some arsehole somewhere that says, oh, we're changing the gearbox now, you got to recalculate it all again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. That's a sensible answer as to why there's a delay, but we're going to go with they all went out for a piss up as the official answer.
They went out and got smashed. All the team principals were colluding together, which is what they do. That's what the Formula One is. It's them just losing bets. And it's like, all right, well, Toto, you lost the bet. We're gonna pull the safety car early this weekend. And he says, no, no. But yeah.
Oh, dear.
We'll get back to that, though. I've got some heat for that one.
Is that it for qualifying? Is there any other interesting tidbits you have for us? Or is that it?
Not really, man. Like, I thought qualifying was... It was straightforward. It was an enjoyable session to watch. It wasn't bad, you know? But it was like one of those things. It was like a moot point considering... All right, you've qualified now, lads. And then we'll just throw your name in a hat and pick them out and pick the grid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that was all right. It was all right. But it's race time. It is race time then, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
The temple of
blue balls.
The temple of blue testicles. Mm. Man. What are we saying?
So we're saying race start. Lando decided to, I don't know if he left it in reverse or what, or perhaps maybe he just left the car turned off. I don't know. The guy just seemed to go nowhere, and I haven't watched the onboard, so I don't know. I don't know if it was an anti-stall or what, but that start was fucking dreadful.
But like, let's put it in perspective. Let's talk about the grid. So in terms of, we said we threw the names in the hat, picked them out. Leclerc starts on the front row with George. Yep. Lando and Ricardo are on the second row.
And fourth.
Gasman and Alonso, fifth and sixth. Verstappen, De Vries, a Dutch fourth row. Zhou Guanyu and Nicholas Latifi running at the top 10. Notable mentions, Lewis starting from P19. And Perez starting from P13, because those guys kind of have some recovery drives. We don't really talk about them. Who else we got? With Carlos Sainz as well, P18. So we've got a couple of fast cars very out of place. So we were really hoping that would get really, really dirty, but it didn't.
No. A lot of teams end up taking their penalties at Monza just because of the power of the DRS down that main straight. It doesn't really...
No. Yeah, and exactly. And Mercedes knew that this was not going to be a particularly competitive track for them. Like they knew that, and they're like, right, let's get Lewis a new ice, because it was questionable after the... Spa collision with Alonso, Alonso had some very interesting comments, and they got into a hissy fit, and then they traded caps, which is really cute.
Yeah, now they kissed and made up.
Yeah, exactly. They're lovers, aren't they?
But yeah, wasn't it like a 70G hit or something?
It was. I heard it was 300 Gs, actually. And I was it was like 40 or 50, so... Yeah,
enough to basically not want to go through your engine.
Yeah, exactly. That thing's going to launch itself at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the race start, Norris has a launch protection or anti-stall, which basically means the gearbox and engine decide something's bad happen if I release the clutch at the rate that you want to do it. So I'm going to pull the clutch completely so that we don't stall the engine on the grid. And then all you have to do is grab both the paddles and then you can proceed to launch the car again. But when you're looking at less than point, you know, 0.2 seconds reaction times, an anti-stall is going to cost you a couple seconds on your race start, and which means to the back, yeah. Sir.
Yeah, so that wasn't a great start for him. Bottas decided to drive into the back of Magnussen. Bias is, I'm going to say it, right? Go this on. Isn't Bottas slander, because I actually don't mind Bias. I rate him.
I like Valtteri.
I think his stock went down when he was driving against Lewis purely because he was driving against Lewis.
Yeah. And that's the same thing you're seeing Max and his teammates. He's putting a lot of lap time into them and consistently performing better in the races. And Valtteri had some great races as well, but Lewis is one of those dudes where that's a fucking tough teammate to have. It damn near broke Nico. That's why he's so damn crazy now.
Yeah, it's doing interviews from his Bond Lair Zoom background or whatever the fuck he's doing. Oh, Christ.
What a fucking goober.
Maybe we'll reach out to him. Could see if we can get him on the podcast.
I think we could. I think he'd be down for it.
A trio of frauds.
Yeah, he's just clout chasing if he wants to be on our pod, though, for real.
True. Who even remembers him? Anyway, I forgot where I was now. Oh, yeah, Bottas. Sorry, I was hyping up Bottas. But since the last 10 races, his qualifying against Guanyu Zhou is 5 apiece, which I was quite surprised about.
I think Valtteri is a solid driver, and I think Zhou is also a very solid driver. Like, not bad. I think the car's not great. So if you're looking at performance-wise, the Alfa Romeo is probably not particularly fast. And you're looking at their performances, I don't think it is.
No, and every time it is fast, they end up having to replace half the engine. So, you know, yeah, not a great time. But I was surprised it was 5-5.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But yeah, I think Bottas is going a bit off the boil at the minute, bless him.
Yeah.
So,
ever since
those, it's good news.
Ever since those sweet cheeks were on the internet in Monaco-ish, that was like, all right, mate. Everybody's seen your cheeks. Let's hand in the towel, bro.
Yeah. Now here comes all the negative karma.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was good news for Alfa Romeo because Mr. Guanyu Zhou, I think, finished 10th, didn't he? And got a point. So
not bad.
First time they've had a point in quite a while, I believe.
Yeah, where did Zhou finish? Exactly, in P10. What happened to Valtteri in P13 in the end? A lap down. Unlucky. Unlucky!
Lucky! Max managed to get into second place by lap 5, which I think no one is necessarily surprised about. If anything, I'm surprised it took him 5 laps. You know, he's fucking washed. Yeah. Get him out of that. Get him out
of
there.
It's just the car, mate. It is just the car.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I was 5 laps seemed about reasonable for me, but I was actually looking at that race. I think I was at first surprised at how little progress Lewis was making early on. And then I looked at all of the shit happening around him. And I'm pretty sure with as much experience as he's got, he's like, I need to avoid these billies smashing their cars into each other for the first couple of laps, and then I'll just start picking them off, and we'll get back to Lewis's race. But he doesn't really feature in this. He kind of has a quiet race in the back, a couple of wheel to wheels with a couple guys, but he was very calculated at his move through the field. He was not in a rush to lose any points because Lewis knows that if they can keep taking some bags of points, they could potentially pip Ferrari for P2 in the constructors. So, one way to look at that is Lewis wasn't very quick. Looking at him in clean air, he wasn't bad. And, you know, seeing all this shit that we saw, there's some jokers back there, and you're not going to want to wheel with them. So, I think that was calculated as fuck.
It's a good word, and it's a word I'd probably used as well. And we've seen it, I think, plenty of times in the past with Lewis. He's like, well, I can't win a race on lap one, but yeah. I can maybe on lap 40. So let's just see how it plays out, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But considering, I think we all wrote off Mercedes, I don't think they had necessarily a bad weekend. I thought Monza was going to be an absolute disaster for them.
I did too, man.
Old George sneaked his way onto a podium yet again.
Yeah. Good on him. Mr. Consistent, by the way. But he kind of had one of those races. Looking back at the race, did we have any... Like, Max fought him, overtook him lap 5. It looked like they were sleeping. The Red Bull the Red Bull, strangely, you know, notoriously slippy car this season, which is not typically a Red Bull car. Red Bull car is usually a bit downforce and a bit draggy, and they make it up through the corners. But this RB18 is a slippery son of a gun. But how closely he could follow through the final corner because of how much grunt they've got, that long 180-degree high-speed corner where you just lift off the brakes on the way in, lift off the throttle on the way in, roll it, get back on the power, super wide. He was inside of George's gearbox, and he knew what he had for breakfast as he overtook him down the main straight. And then George had a very lonely race. He was in clean air the entire time. He approached Sainz around lap 30. And then drove into the safety car region at the end of the race. But Russell's race was kind of dull. But again, Mr. Consistent, keeping his nose clean, is coming home on the podium in P3. I mean,
yep.
Dude's the kid's solid. Like, his stare creeps me out, and I don't trust anybody that wears loafers without socks. But
yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, that's like I do not trust those people. If you're wearing loafers and rolled up chinos and no socks. No.
Yeah, big Tory energy.
So anyway, our boy Perez had some woes at the beginning of the race, and it really kind of, you know, Perez was one of those our dudes that was on a little bit of a recovery drive, but he kind of got fucked, didn't he? You know,
yeah.
Perez starting on a medium and having to box at lap 10. What happened there?
I don't know. Well, was that when his brakes decided to externally combust?
Yeah.
I mean, that was straight out the Ferrari playbook, that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fire where it's not supposed to be. Ferrari said, hey, ciao, stronzo, I got you. Don't worry.
Oh, dear. Yeah. No, I'm not really sure. Lap 10 while on mediums. I don't really get that.
10, yeah. It looks so. If I had to extrapolate using my old performance engineering brain, I reckon. So he said he had a flat spot. One idea is that when you get a flat spot, the tire keeps locking there. And if the disc isn't spinning, the other wheel is doing all the braking work, so you could overheat one of them. I don't think that was it.
Right.
Or it's not uncommon to have a little bit of debris because there's lots of intricate piping in those ducts. And if you block one of those... So anyway, they had to pit. I mean, like on the medium, to put it in perspective, Sainz did a one stop. It was going to be a one stop. Sainz and Hamilton pit around like laps 30 and 36 off of medium. When you're coming in on lap 8, 9, 10 on a medium, your race is in trouble.
Yeah, so it's not quite gone.
Perez fit a hard. We saw a lot of fire coming out of the brake, and he continued on. And so it looks like that cleared. Did he have any issues with that? Looking at his stint, I mean, he dropped back dead last at one point and drove through. A lot of people pit around him, and Perez drove back to finish, what is that, 6th? Yeah, not a bad recovery drive. His pace was okay. His pace wasn't actually bad at all, especially considering he did a proper long stint on a hard from quite early on. There's nobody else that stopped comparably early on a hard. So his pace was reasonable. I don't think he did a particularly bad job this weekend, but it's just unfortunate on a recovery drive having an issue like that.
I wonder if it perhaps maybe was Charles thinking it was Max behind him and taking a tear off. And unfortunately, he managed to knock out the wrong Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly.
With his tear off.
Yeah. I mean,
better luck next time.
Yeah, dork. So that wasn't too bad.
It was, I was going to say, it was really nice to see Ferrari paying tribute to Renault this weekend as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That beautiful yellow uniform.
Yeah, with those, the front blown exhaust diffuser. That was a hottie, that Lotus.
That was a doozy.
That was Renault. It was Renault Lotus. That I don't remember what it was, but the front exit exhaust, that was revolutionary. With old Robert Kubica driving that son of a gun.
Yeah, and then worked well, didn't it?
Yeah, Nick Heidfeld when he was driving it on reserve that one time, and they blew up the low pressure accumulator and destroyed the side pods when the front exhaust caught fire. That was that was frightening, bro. Imagine you're getting out of the car and a hand grenade goes off in the side pod and takes you out.
Yeah, that's there was a lot scary. Of pressure in them.
Yeah, that's actually, speaking of scary shit that happens during a race, then Daniel. Talk to me, bro.
Well, we had a recovery truck forklift on track to recover Mr. Daniel Ricciardo when, I think, was it lap 48? He retired.
It's engine let the fire out of the cylinders around, probably coming out of the second chicane, and he ended up parking it in between turns 6 and 7, which are two very fast right-handers, probably pretty poor visibility off the racing line, but the recovery point was quite far away, and he's stuck there.
I fucking hate this because this shit winds me up so much. Like, it's wild to think about that we lost Jules, or Jules's accident was back in 2014, but it still feels like it was, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And to see a forklift out on track, reversing down the track with Danny Rick's car, like, either red flag it and use the forklift to get rid of it, or just fucking leave it there.
Yeah, I mean, there was even a video of one of the cars, like, you know, they're under yellow flags at that point, or safety car at that point. One of the guys is following somebody, he peeks out, and he's like, oh yeah, the forklift's still there, let me tuck back in quickly. And it's like, those forklifts are insanely heavy for a reason. That means if a Formula One car touches it, all of the energy goes into the car and the driver. And that was a long time. That made my stomach turn when I saw that happening. Yep. I was like, dude, because I was at that race and I don't remember anything about that race other than like, yep.
What happened, like.
Yeah. Mm. Then you find out later. So that's frightening. If we see that again, that's insane. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of debate about that. Do you want to dig into that now about the safety car?
I don't think this is fucking hard, really, but some people do. Like, I get it that finishing under a safety car is boring or whatever, you know. Yeah, okay, I get it, but whatever. But my point is obviously either red flag it, remove it, and then start the race, because by then, was it like 5-6 laps? I don't know. I can't remember what it was exactly.
Yeah, or a 53 lap race, and if it happened on 48,
or just fucking leave the car. Don't touch it. Don't fucking wheel a forklift across the track, because it wasn't even on the right side of the track of what Danny's car was. And like, a lot of people saying, oh yeah, what's the issue? It was dry, there was good visibility. Yeah, but all it takes is one freak accident, because that's whenever people get seriously injured, all it is a freak accident.
Yeah. It's not like you planned. It's like that wasn't a probability. Like, you would mitigate against most of those circumstances, and it was something exceptional that happened, which means you probably haven't fucking planned for it.
And it's so easy just to remove the risk by not having the forklift reversing down the track.
With cars moving on the track. The forklift can reverse down the track all at once, as long as they're not drivers piloting cars around a circuit. And the safety car is not particularly going slow. It's slow for a Formula One car, but it's still fast enough to fuck shit up.
Yeah. It's, well, for the car, it is. It's going flat out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But I mean, so in the press, we had, I looked at the post race interviews with the team principals. Christian said we wanted to win this race under green flag racing. Even
fucking hell, here we go.
Even Binotto wanted to finish the race under green flag racing, but to what Lewis said was, you know, this is the time.
If you're going to mention Abu Dhabi 2021,
no, I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to mention it directly. But
we
he's
are
like,
canceling the podcast on episode two.
All right, fine. But anyway, so they followed the rules. They said right, and then people accepted. You know, we should. So the safety car and yellow flags, the whole process seemed super delayed. And one of the things that we learned later was the marshals could not get Daniel's car in neutral. Correct. So that was one big problem. That is why, because if you looked at the track, 50 meters behind him was a recovery point where they could push the car back between the barriers and resume green flag racing. Unfortunately, the car would not go into neutral because the engine shat itself and it lost power and lost hydraulics in gear.
And in theory, there's the button on the chassis which you can press, which puts it into neutral. But I think, from my very limited understanding, is that it basically cooked itself seized.
Yep.
So you could basically push that button as much as you want. The thing was basically hot welded itself together. So good luck.
Yeah, they weren't. That wasn't going. So we've got a couple of options, right? You know, and I think they just need to make a decision on what they want to do. Is like, do you want to, you know, if make a rule, it's like 8 laps to go, or you know, X percent of the race to go. Do you want to, if it's likely to be a safety car that will take a number of laps to recover, should we red flag it, fix the issue, and then have, you know, the rest of the race under green flag conditions? You'll get one or two laps of double yellow flags in that segment. They'll assess it and they'll make the decision if it's a safety car, if it's a yellow flag, right? It's this question of entertainment versus racing, and I think safety first. But in either of these situations, everybody makes an agreement. All the team principals and drivers have to put their hand up and say, never mind who it's going to impact and what race. You don't know what's going to happen. You say, is it safety car finish? Is it red flag? Green flag restart. Which one do you guys want? And you guys all say yes, and they make a rule, because whatever it is, it has to be something that cannot be biased.
I would respectfully say don't even give the teams a fucking choice, because no, you know what teams are like. Who's ever going to fucking agree?
No, nobody.
You're never going to get a unanimous decision, are you? So the FIA should just be like, no, fuck you. This is how we're doing things from now on.
Yeah, and like, we want to ensure that we get green flag racing at the end of the race, because honestly, Monza pissed me off that race. You know, I sat there the whole time waiting for something to happen and nothing happened, realistically.
Yeah, it sort of fizzled out, didn't it, really?
Yeah.
So
blue balls still.
Blue balls.
But another speculation from Twitter, and a lot of people asked, and it's a good question. Jesus. It's a good question. Can we add laps to a race? And the answer is no. And the problem with that is fuel. So teams are pushing the fuel, and if you have to every time carry an extra lap of fuel, that's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. You know how many safety car race finishes have we had in the last 2 years?
One. I can't think of any others.
Yeah, exactly. So, it takes roughly on most circuits, I remember this from back in the day, it takes about 5 laps of safety car pace to save enough fuel to be able to do one more lap.
Yeah.
So,
and you know there's going to be someone out there, some team, that say, for this race, we're going to fucking risk it and just not put any extra in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll get a safety car, and then they'll get fucking stuck on track.
Yeah, it's just...
AKA... Yeah. Sebastian Vettel in Hungary.
The extra lap, I don't think, is an answer. And that, like, how you facilitate that, the answer is everybody, FIA says we're green flag racing it if we can, you know, following the procedure, which means we need to red flag it so that we can do everything else right, or we're going to finish under safety car if it happens that way. Which, if I was a fan at the track, I want to see fucking green flag. And if I'm watching on TV, I wanted to see green flag. Does that, you know, is that an abomination to the sport? No. Red flag the shit. Pull them in the pit lane. Let them change tires. I love the fact that you can have a safety car at the end of the race, and then have a sprint to the end because of chaos, because of Nicholas Latifi or Daniel Ricciardo. but anyway.
I think that sort of answers how we feel about that.
Yeah. I won't tell you how I really. Yeah, I will. I did, actually. I'm honest with you guys.
Yeah. We can all be honest here.
What about our boy Nick? We big up them through his qualifying run, even though it was a little bit inconsistent. But for first day in the office, you know, sink or swim. I think he swam nicely.
Yeah. So he turns up on a Sunday, gets in a Williams, finishes P9, refuses to elaborate, leaves.
My favorite shit was him on the radio. He's like, guys, I can't get out of the car. And if you're watching this on YouTube, he's just like, get me out, please. And he had the boys help him get out.
Exactly how I felt after karting.
Yeah.
I've got something in common with an F1 driver.
Yeah, pick me up off the ground.
But yeah, no, he did himself proud. P9. I think, again, you may have this on your machine there, but I've seen a graph where it's kind of like average lap times, and Nick's is far more consistent during the race than the TV's, which I thought was quite amusing, if that's true.
Nick drove a great race, and Latifi just fell off the back. I mean, to be fair, De Vries was in kind of a train for a bit, wasn't he? And he was stuck there. So that was, but he had a car up his chuff for a substantial part of that race. If I'm looking at that right, was that Joe? Yeah, it was Joe and him, like getting really close in the final stint, because Nick went pretty long on that medium. He did a one stop soft medium. So.
Another wild internet rumor that I've heard is that apparently 30 minutes after the race, he was in having pre-contract talks with Williams. 30 minutes.
And you just, like, it's one of those things where there's a camera shot and, like, you're talking, it's De Vries and the team boss chatting there, and then you just see Latifi just sadly eating ice cream in the back corner.
Mm. Or just walking into the room and everyone goes silent. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, nothing.
Nothing, mate. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
I think Nick has nicked Nick.
Nah. Nick has nicked Nick.
Yeah, I think see you later, Latifi, I'm afraid.
So is that our race done, pretty much?
I think pretty much, yeah. I was just gonna add on to that is I think, you know, I do hold my hands up sometimes and admit when I was wrong. And although I didn't publicly say it, I don't think I've ever really rated De Vries. I think I've always sort of thought of him as a Formula E merchant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Christ, but I think he's certainly done himself proud. So
he should be. Yeah, that's a performance to be proud of. You know, you only get so many opportunities like that in life, and he's grabbed it by the balls and Monza blueballed him. But he did finish.
Do you reckon we see him in Williams next year then?
I'm not sure.
There's still better options out there to explore.
Yeah, and I don't know who they are, but I'm just gonna agree with you because I don't pay any attention to any of those shits.
We'll revisit this. I'm gonna say we do.
Okay, you think he does?
You're gonna say he does?
Everybody
doesn't.
Remember that? Yeah, exactly. So it's me versus you.
Yep.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, I'll just edit the podcast and delete it. So not a problem.
Yeah. Well, why have you guys re-released episode 2?
Oh, we just had to do some edits. Don't worry. I think that's it, really, for the race.
Lando, P7, Lewis driving with a good recovery ride to 6th. Sainz. No, sorry. That's the championship. Wow. Sorry. I had the wrong. I was ahead of myself. Lewis coming in P5 with a good recovery drive. Sergio also recovering that. Sainz, P4, just missing out on the podium. Realistically, Sainz was going to catch Russell. I think he would have overtaken him if we had not had a safety car, but Mr. Consistent, right place, right time, keeping his nose clean, driving a great race. George on the third step of the podium. Leclerc. But you know what we haven't talked about?
What have we not talked about?
Ferrari.
Oh, you're right.
We blue-balled everybody, but now we're gonna finish the deal here. So one of the things that everybody was wondering, did Ferrari fuck up by pitting a Charles around lap 11 from the VSC?
I mean, I'm just going to say yes, purely because I feel like you can say yes and 9 times out of 10 you'll be right.
Because it's Ferrari.
Yeah. But I'm now going to lean on to you and your expert knowledge to tell me if that's correct or not.
Well, looking at the data, I reckon Charles was leading Max on the race start. Max got through Russell pretty quickly. And then it was pretty clear that on the defensive, Max had more pace in hand on the new soft. And Charles started to deg off, actually, I think, quite a bit. As soon as Charles pit, Max was able to calm down his degradation and just he was able to manage the tires. But Max was pushing like hell and got into a bit of deg. I think Ferrari got spooked by that initial deg. Pit early onto a medium. And their pace on the medium was actually pretty good, but their degradation was much higher than the Red Bulls. So we hear a lot of people saying more downforce equals more degradation, which is not true. You know, it's part of the equation. If you're on lower downforce, the likelihood is that it's easier to slide the tires, but you also have less vertical load on them and have straight and all this other stuff. So if this, then that kind of scenario, right? My takeaway from the Grand Prix is that the Red Bull had very good degradation, the exact opposite of what we saw in Austria. Remember Austria when Max was on the front, on the defensive, blew his softs off completely. I don't think Leclerc had it that bad, but in order to take an extra pit stop, albeit under the safety car, virtual safety car, which should have been a 14-second loss, but the track went green during his stop, which means he actually lost 19 seconds. Leave it to Ferrari to do a good weekend for once and then get this unlucky, but I don't think that impacted their race. Looking at the numbers, to go from that point, Charles needed to find 0.35 seconds per lap, average per lap, over Max through the race. And Max was faster through the entire race. Looking at the gaps, you know, Max was, you know, 18 seconds ahead. Then Max stopped. And then after the next stop and subsequent stop from Leclerc, you know, so Leclerc went on to a soft at the end. Max was then 20 seconds ahead. There was no way he was closing that gap. He had to close down a 20-second gap in 20-something laps? A second a lap is what Leclerc needed at the end of the race. I think after the first stop and they saw their pace on that medium, they that strategy was on a hope and a prayer. And I think they risked P1, but realistically, they're not getting P1 in the championship, so why not risk a race win at home? Because on pace outright, they weren't racing Red Bull this weekend on the track. Qualifying, great. Red Bull putting a little bit more downforce on the car for a low downforce circuit, and it paying dividends in this instance, in terms of their tire management and easily securing Max the dub. I mean, at the point when we had the safety car, Max was 17 seconds ahead. No shot. Yeah. No shot. Leclerc's getting that. And I think they knew that. But did they fuck up? I don't think so. I'm not sure. I think that call, they didn't have very much information. Your free practice long runs are like 10 laps with a shitload of traffic. You're not getting good data from that. The cars have changed a lot. They've learned a bit from Spa. They've learned a bit from Zandvoort. You know, one super high downforce and one very low downforce, but not quite Monza low. But I don't know. What was your initial thought when you saw them pitting under the virtual safety car?
I think, like I said earlier, force of habit made me think, oh, okay, they've wrecked it.
Yep.
But I think I'm like a similar mindset of you. The lap times that Max was putting in and things like that. I think Ferrari didn't lose a race they could win. You know, I don't think they were ever really going to win this one. I think they did the best they could. And if we hold it up to their previous standard of this year, I think it was a reasonable decision.
Yeah, no, I think so. Like, it wasn't that bad, but I'm looking at that, and they were on hopes and prayers on that first VSC that the medium was going to be magic for them, and I don't think it panned out. But I think they knew they were going to get eaten alive anyway. So it was I think it was, in hindsight, like saying all that out loud and hearing your thoughts on that, I think it was a calculated risk to take home P2 when P2 was the max they could get.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy. It's not
at least. They had a car on the podium in Monza.
Yeah, and if not for the safety car, they were going to have two.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. They're probably not going to win it anyway. Do you want to go into our wild conspiracies?
Let's cut through them. Let's cut through them. Get
wild,
started.
Wild conspiracy number one.
Yeah.
There's some footage and some photos of Max's engine cover showing some damage, I think, around the safety car period. And some footage shows an object appearing and then sort of landing near Max's car, insinuating that perhaps an angry fan may have thrown something at it and damaged it.
Ooh.
I think that is a cap to the extreme.
So you had Incredible Hulk in the grandstands lobbing a object with some amount of mass that could puncture a piece of bodywork.
Yeah, the engine covers aren't the strongest in the world.
No.
But you still have to fucking hit them hard if you want to damage them.
About as hard as Daniel hit Q2 this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't buy it. I'm sure someone may have thrown something onto the track. There's fucking idiots everywhere, every track.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
What race are you going to next, by the way? Oh, sorry. Unrelated question.
I'm never watching F1 live again.
Bro.
It's the court order. Hey, I'm not allowed.
Real quick though, like I've never been to a Formula One Grand Prix as a spectator.
Fuck off. Ever.
Ever. Never. I did 6 seasons as a trackside performance engineer, living the dream, going to all the tracks, sniffing all the race fuel, getting my ears blown out by the V8s when we had them, and you know, when there was a show car V10. But I have never sat in the grandstands, and yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that in Austin this year. I will be at the Austin Grand Prix. So if any of our listeners are in Austin, hit me up.
Avoid it.
Yeah. Avoid. Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. Avoid me. Avoid me. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome. I've seen two. I've seen two. Yeah, both Silverstone.
Okay.
When was Williams really good? Was it 2014?
Yeah, I think so. When they came third,
may have been 2014. Yeah,
it was 14 and 13. But like,
it was the hybrid because it was the white martini livery.
How the dude Williams beat Red Bull 1 year?
Yeah. It's wild, isn't it, to sort of think.
Oh my god, dude. But like, F1 fans now, you know, the new generation of fans that are coming in, welcome to all of you, by the way. But you're looking at this season thinking like, this is kind of the status quo. You know, it's a little bit of mix and match. And like, they'll know that Mercedes were the big dogs and they've stumbled on this year's design. But nobody's thinking the car that Alex and Latifi were driving was third in the Constructors' Championship back in the day. In the last 10 years, it fucking happened.
Yeah.
It happened. So the mighty have fallen, and maybe one day they'll be back. Anyway.
Maybe. And then when was the other one? I think I'm going to say 2017, but it could be a guess. I don't know. Nah. It was definitely while I was still working at Red Bull, and I just went as a spectator.
A spectacled spectator.
And it was weird. I didn't like it. I didn't have a headset on, and no one was shouting. And
I like watching it from TV. I like watching it from TV. That's it. It was
definitely. I'd say everyone should watch a race live once.
Yeah,
at least. Okay. But like, I think I prefer more information. I'm watching the race.
Well, what I'm gonna try to do is get Max and or Checo or GP. Be like, dude, just get me a pit pass. I know they're expensive, and I know your girlfriend wants to come, but tell her to fuck off. I'm coming in.
Yeah.
I'll take her pass. It's fine. So we'll see. We'll see if we can do that. Another conspiracy.
I've still got Adrian Newey's phone number. I call him to give him a ring and basically say, "Listen here, you bald fuck."
Oh my god!
I sorted out your home office, right?
Yeah,
you owe me.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, other conspiracy theories. I've got one, man. I've got one. We didn't hear anything about this on Twitter, and I'm actually appalled. I'm actually appalled, dude. I really feel like Formula One engine manufacturers have way too much influence on what's going on, because they get to put their engines in other people's teams. They get to put their test drivers in other people's teams. And then all of a sudden, when Sainz is about to catch your ass, George Russell, somebody pushes the button on their panel, which explodes Daniel Ricciardo's car in the most difficult to recover position, and also then hits the button that welds the transmission shut so they can't select neutral. I just feel like these engine manufacturers have way too much influence over it. Like, I know you have sister teams and stuff like that, but that's nothing when you control their engines and you can blow them up at will.
Yep. Arrest Toto Wolff immediately.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just a reminder from our boy Yuki. If anybody's thinking about conspiracy theories like this, book yourself an appointment at your local hospital. Go have a brain scan done. And if that comes back inconclusive, stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck
off
Twitter.
I'm really glad that Yuki's English culture lessons went so well.
Yeah, dude. He's like, you need to get your head checked.
Definitely. He's picked that up from Milton Keynes.
Yeah, 100%. Bro. 100%. 100%. But anyway, I think that's good for conspiracies. But we've got Should we start wrapping up the last bit, our Fraud Watch and our Engine Good Boy Awards?
A Fraud Watch. We don't have a bumper, musical bumper for that.
Right, we'll get one. Michael, yeah. If you're listening, we need Fraud Watch. You're listening to Fraud
Thank
Watch.
You, Michael, for the intro. That's beautiful. Now it's time to get back to work. Yeah. All right. We need Fraud Watch. Fraud Watch. So the obvious choice here is probably Latifi.
Yeah.
But I feel that I'm not down for the obvious choice. And I'm actually going to give it to Aston Martin.
Oh, my God.
For their double DNF in Monza.
Yowza.
And basically, their just general luck or demeanor or whatever recently.
Yeah.
For a car that looks so much like the RB18, it ain't.
Copy the homework, didn't understand the assignment.
Yep. So yeah, Vettel had a failure, a little bit of smoke coming out the back.
Yeah, the fire.
But then apparently they just retired Lance Stroll because they were like, oh, we're just going to save the engine, you know?
Yeah.
That's how confident we are in you, Stroll. It's pointless you driving around the rest of this race. You might as well just come in early. We'll beat the traffic, leaving the track.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, fair enough. That's not
too
bad.
So... Aston Martin, you're on Fraud Watch. Must do better.
Okay.
What about you?
I had one nominee, but I think I've changed it.
Okay.
I was going to say Haas because they're looking like a bunch of wankers lately. You know, they're looking pretty rough. And it's difficult in the midfield team. And maybe they've lost all their money from some place. And it's hard done by. And that sucks to see it. But... you're on my Fraud Watch now, considering you've gassed up this Porsche deal for so damn long.
Yep.
And the Germans have pulled the plug, or between the Germans and the Austrians, they have severed the ties. It's not proceeding. So you're on my Fraud Watch until Honda get announced. So I'm just going to keep repeating that every week.
Yeah, if you expect an apology, then you can fuck off. So. All right.
as we should do, honestly.
As expected.
Which brings us to the Engine Good Boy Award.
My Engine Good Boy Award. I think, obviously, the obvious answer is Nyck de Vries.
Yeah, obvious.
But I want to big up Carlos Sainz. P18 to P4.
Which was going to be a P3 without that safety car.
Yeah, big up Carlos. I think, you know, solid performance. Something that I think, you know, he's needed for a while. So, yeah, big yourself up, Carlos.
I think he should feel pretty good about that drive. He always seems so underwhelmed when he's talking unless, you know, he's just like, but good for him. I wanted to see some more racing. But it's just like you've got this huge gap between the front and the mid. And Danny Ric obviously just kind of dragged the entire midfield of the car track back and they couldn't overtake him. Until he blew up his car.
Yeah.
Rip. My Engine Good Boy Award goes to Lewis. You know, he had a very calculated, very beginning of his race, and it looked like, hey, mate, you're not making up much progress. But actually, that is what a mature drive looks like. And the car wasn't that quick. You look at the pace difference between the Ferrari and George, who was running clean air. They were gonna get, you know, on everybody finishing in pace order. That was a Mercedes 5-6 this weekend pace order, but you know, he got everything out of it effectively. He got one better than, you know, he took advantage of Perez, so he's there to capitalize consistency. And that double overtake, was it when Norris came out of the pits? That calculated overtake, that was hot, man. He just set them up and then doubled it, man. Engine Good Boy, in a very sincere way, goes to Lewis, man. That was probably some of the better action we saw during that entire boring blue ball of a race.
Not his first cheeky double overtake of the season either, is it?
No.
That was beautiful at Silverstone.
Yeah, I want to see. Oh yeah, that was fucking good, bro. I want to see Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, and I would like to see the rest of the teams a little bit closer, you know, because right now we're the development is on, and the boys at the front are pulling away.
Yeah, but we always have this sort of discrepancy when we have a large regulation change, don't we?
Yeah.
And then eventually, or whatever, people start to shuffle back. So
yeah, fair enough.
Teams, basically everyone that doesn't support Red Bull, basically, keep the faith.
Yep. Yeah.
And if you shall be rewarded.
And if you do support Red Bull, great
then
decision.
Then you know Will. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, good job. So, I feel like, is that the end of our show for the day?
I think so. I can't think of anything else we've missed.
I think, I mean, as much as that race, not a whole lot happened, I still feel like there's a lot of interesting things to take away from it, but I do want some more fucking wheel-to-wheel racing, man. I want to see some action. I want to see some chaos. I don't want to see DNFs and retirements from Toto hitting the Mercedes button explode for their customer teams because they're serious, serious influence on the rest of the grid. I just think it's anyway. But so for anybody listening,
this by the way, this episode is sponsored by your local tinfoil manufacturer.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know what the brands here called. Was it like
what's an American brand of tinfoil? Come on, Blake, tell me. We need to reach out to them.
I have no idea, but we need to work on that.
Baker Foil.
Baker Foil, like, yeah. Yeah,
that sounds like a name. I'm sure that exists.
I'm pretty sure that's it. But yeah, so what would you tell our listeners and our viewers on YouTube? Because these videos are going on YouTube. I'm just getting a couple things sorted. The podcast will be live tomorrow.
Should be, yeah. But by the time people wake up, it should be out there and live.
And then I'll have the YouTubes from the last 2 weeks out, and the YouTubes will be live. I'll put links on our socials for everybody to find them. And when the episode's live, Dan's going to push that publish. And all of you are going to go listen to it. You're going to enjoy it. And once you've finished enjoying it, you're going to share a story on Instagram. Tell all your mates about it. Call your nan and tell her, you're never going to believe who I heard today. I heard Engine Good Boy and Balake.
Exactly. Oh, God. I don't know. How do we even take ourselves seriously? I don't know other people.
We fucking don't.
Oh, yeah, good point. obviously, next weekend, no race. So
we're going to work on something. We got to find something. We'll find a guest and we'll do a show. Yeah. We'll do something cool. So,
yeah, I'm going to go down to Buckingham Palace and interview King Charles. Ask him what he feels about Abu Dhabi 2021.
Yep.
And then probably get arrested by Secret Service agents.
That's cool. Can we get some of them on the show too?
Yeah, why not?
Is that an MP7? I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you pointing at me?
Yeah. Do you play Escape from Tarkov too? I've got one of those in my stash.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Tarkov fan.
So, where can everybody find you, Dan?
Everybody can find me on their local episode of Crime Watch. Or they can find me on at Engine Mode 11. On the Twitters.
Love that. Love that. And then if you're looking for me, you can find me at Brake on Twitter. That's BRRRAKE on Twitter and Twitch. And then on YouTube, I do a little bit of analytical Formula One content at Brake F1. You can also find me on TikTok. And we are going to have an engine braking podcast, TikTok and Instagram Reels coming very soon. I've got those in the oven. We're going to start baking them up and getting the most fraudulent content on the short form platforms coming straight into your mobile devices, taking over your brain, consuming all of your attention. So I think that's it.
Yeah, we got 3 quick questions before we go that we forgot to do.
Oh, yeah.
Blake, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Honestly, it's 2022. You can put whatever the fuck you want on your pizza. If you put Skittles on it, I'm not going to hate you. I'm just not going to love you. You?
Right. The correct answer is no. It's a hate crime.
Okay.
Does Danny Rick need a hug?
He's got 15 million hugs in his bank account right now. So I do like Daniel. I would straight up hug the dude and wish him all the best. And I hope he finds a seat and I hope he finds a car that he can drive. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'd give him a hug and then whisper in his ear, big dick energy.
Yeah.
Are we going to see Latifi at the job center?
I'm still burning through my life savings, so maybe in about 12 months. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going there tomorrow, so we'll see.
All right, cool.
I'll let you know. We'll do a live stream.
All right, cool. Dan, if you're going to revive your Twitch for that?
Yeah, just for that. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. All right. I think that's a wrap. Y'all stay fraudulent. Yep. And we'll see you next week. We don't know what that episode's going to be, but we're going to come up with some unique stuff and we're going to have a great time in this downtime between our Singapore Grand Prix. So you guys stay fraudulent.
Yeah, stay fraudulent and fuck off.
All right. Later, Jokers.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.